Welcome to a very special edition of Debug. Joining us is Jesse Char, the co-CEO of Pacific Helm. Hi, Jesse.
Hello.
We also have Brianna Wu, who runs things over at Giant Space Cat. Did I get the name right?
You did.
Awesome.
What's crack-a-lackin'?
Serenity Caldwell from Macworld and TechIve. Hi, Serenity.
Hi, Renee.
And Georgia Dow, who is from Zen and Tech and Mobile Nations. Hi, Georgia.
Hello.
And of course, your co-host and mine, Guy English. Hey, Guy.
Hello.
So it's a very special episode because we were asked over and over again to do something about sexism in technology. And Guy and I talked about it. And I think it's safe to say, Guy, that we felt completely under-equipped, under-prepared, and just not qualified to talk about that ourselves.
No, I feel totally qualified.
Okay.
You two can just do it yourself.
You're right. No, I'm just kidding. I was just saying, there was a certain amount of trepidation about approaching the subject because you want to be faithful to it and you want to actually sort of capture it. And I, as much as I read, I'm ill-equipped because I'm not on the other side of the aisle in this one, cool. Right?
So. Yeah, maybe you're not qualified to talk about feminism, but you are qualified in the subject of ladies.
Wow.
Whole other show.
This already went wrong. I got prepped for the wrong show.
Yeah.
Did I already ruin it?
You already ruined it, Jesse.
Or you started it fantastically well.
I'm all about
Can I just
ladies.
Leave now?
Thanks for showing up, Jesse.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Cemented my...
So this show is going to be about why there's so few guys in tech.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't know what that's about.
I wonder why. There must be a reason.
Maybe they just don't like technology.
Maybe they're just not good at it.
So one of the things I kind of wanted to do was more or less just hand the show over. Like, we have a pretty big listenership. But I kind of just want you guys to dominate the show.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yes.
Seems like a terrible idea.
No, I trust all of you. I mean, I've known many of you for years, and I spoke to Brianna yesterday on Twitter, so good enough.
we had a fantastic conversation.
We had a good conversation about OpenGL.
About materials. And stuff.
So. Hardcore rendering stuff. I've actually wanted to have you on the show to talk about specifically your games business. But we'll do this first. And then we'll be pals.
We'll get all the nasty stuff out of the way. We can have some fun and talk about OpenGL implementation on iOS.
Right.
Great.
So about an hour or a couple of hours before we started recording, the Wall Street Journal announced their lineup for the,
Dive.
Dive?
I think it's Wall Street Journal Dive.
It's the replacement for the All Things D.
For the D conference.
Which was a big, I mean, that's the one that Gates and Jobs did their thing at. It used to be, or maybe still will be, like a really huge deal.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be really good this year.
So they announced all the speakers, and it's 20 speakers, and it's an entirely male lineup.
Yep. It's astonishing. I mean, it's really astonishing to me that someone could look at the page when you open it up and it's just a sea of white male faces. You know, my husband is Asian and he's looking at it, and even as a guy, he's like, there's only one Asian on this, you know, at the Wall Street Journal, live thing. And it's really shocking. And I don't understand how someone could book all these guests and not be like, hey guys, you know, do we need to
is there a problem here?
Does this seem like a good lineup? I mean,
it seems so crazy to me because especially in this last year, there are so many, you know, I can name off the top of my head three or four women CEOs and people who I would very much like to see at a conference like this. And the fact that, you know, it's like, oh, maybe we should even inquire as to what Marissa Mayer is doing right now. That seems crazy.
She's a mom.
What is she going to talk about breastfeeding and raising babies?
Right. What does she know about tech?
Right.
Sheryl Sandberg seems like a shoe-in for this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going through this list right now, just like, what are these? Some of these companies are just like, I have not heard of that company before. Some of them don't even seem that tech related, to be quite honest. Anyway.
Okay, well, I'll ask the question that I'm sure some listeners might be saying, and I'll just play devil's advocate. But should they diversify just for the point of diversifying? Like, should they pick someone just because they are female? Because that's what a whole bunch of guys are saying right now. They're saying, well, we shouldn't just pick someone because they're women. And
you know,
should they?
Okay. I run into this in game dev on a constant basis. And you know, game dev is an industry where you have men that fund the games, men create the games, and you know, men are the journalists on the other side, like evaluating the games and saying, this game has merit, this game does not, this game is good, this game is not. And I feel like what most guys who make that argument fundamentally don't understand is that game is so rigged that women can't participate. Like, we could all sit around and very easily come up with 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, just off the top of our heads, very qualified women to speak at this conference. But when you have like guys sitting there making the rules about what has merit and what doesn't, they miss an entire perspective, you know, and as women in the industry, we have lived life experiences that give us unique perspective, and it influences the games we enjoy, and it influences the music we buy, the movies we like. And that perspective is systematically eliminated when you make choices like this.
And women are, depending on which poll you take, like 40 to 50% of the gamers are now female.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, you're definitely missing out on a whole aspect and thought process that you are then going to try to sell your product to. You're missing out on that.
It's entirely true. You know, I'm working on a piece right now. And what we're going to do is go through all the game dev, you know, publications, all the you know, game journalism publications. You know, we're going to look at IGN, Joystick, you know, Polygon, you know, GameSpot. And we're going to kind of break down just what percent of women end up reviewing games that get out there. And I can tell you right now, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be a number that's going to leave you feeling good when you look at it. And, you know, in that same way, getting it back to this tech conference, you know, you have this system where if you're saying, well, you know, the CEO of SoundCloud, let's bring him in. And, you know, this venture capital guy, let's bring him in. And it's just, if you're going to purely judge on merit, that's a game women will never be able to break into. And I think what happens that when you start, you know, making a conscious effort to diversify, to bring women in, then I think all these great changes happen. You know, I'm going to shut up and let other people talk, but like, you know, Nintendo had the Animal Crossing team talking about what women brought to that team. And it was an amazingly financially successful product. It was well reviewed. And a lot of these problems fix themselves when women are just simply represented and able to, you know, participate in the process.
Well, Jesse, you're the CEO of Pacific Helm. So like, do you think that it's because women are not being chosen, or do you think that women are just not going into the tech industry as many as men are?
I mean, San Francisco may be a different kind of sample than maybe the rest of the country / the rest of the world, but there are, you know, it's definitely not equal women and men in tech, but there are a lot of women who are fantastic and in like large leadership positions. And so when I see things like this, you know, when it's say like, you know, out of 20 speakers, there isn't one woman, that seems totally off base to me. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, like maybe 4 of them, that would seem like more representative to me, I guess. It just makes conferences look so tone deaf when they just feature a panel of all white men, because that really isn't representative. You have a lot more Asian people, a lot more people of, you know, different ethnic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And this is just, maybe this is what tech looked like 15 years ago, but to me, it's not what it looks like today.
I can speak over here on the game dev side, and I have I know so many women that are currently in the industry. I know women that are graduating from college and want to come work in this industry. So I think, like, I just frankly don't buy this argument that women are not interested in tech. What I do think that happens is that women are kind of systematically pushed out of tech for a lot of reasons. You know, when you talk about women in tech issues, I did that at PAX East this weekend. You know, I opened up my inbox to, you know, threats to come to my house and assault me. And, you know, I think that in other ways, like after women have children, it can be very difficult to stay in tech sometimes. And I just think there's this entire culture that kind of shows you the door. And it's exhausting sometimes.
So you yourself have like experienced the feeling of that just because you're female, you are either like hit on or excluded for certain conversations, or maybe not given the same amount of respect as you would see someone like a male colleague get.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been talked over at meetings. I mean, I'm sure we've all had the experience of going to buy a computer and have, you know, the guy talk to our boyfriend or our husband. I mean, have you guys had that happen?
Yeah. I mean, I used to work at the Apple store. So aside from trying to kind of battle that kind of mentality, because in all honesty, I was one of the top like salespeople while I was a salesperson there. And it's because I would always talk to the ladies. Because they're the ones who actually have the buying power. Not to be, you know, reverse, I don't know. You know what I mean. Sure. But I worked at the Genius Bar, and that was always the most hilarious thing. Genius Bar is all the way in the back of the store, like a pretty large store where you have to, like, you know, walk for 15 seconds to reach the back of it, where it says Genius Bar, and where there's like a, you know, a physical bar with people standing behind it with shirts that say Genius and tags that say Genius and a computer in front of them. And people would be like, excuse me, are you the greeter?
Are you the receptionist?
Like, yeah. That would be
so I have a coffee.
Oh. Yeah.
Jesse, so as someone else who also worked at Apple for a short period of time in retail, did you ever have somebody who refused to work with you? Because I got that a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have people who, and it wouldn't be, you know, like, this is not good. Like, they would always say, like, oh, can I speak with somebody else? That would always be their way of doing it. Or, like, at the Genius Bar, I was the only girl there for a while. And I would, you know, give them my diagnosis, which was always, like, 80% of the time it was that their hard drive was dead and, like, making weird noises and, like, super dead. Obviously dead. Just dead, dead, dead. And they'd be like, what does that guy over there think? Like, he thinks the hard drive is dead also. Don't need to ask him. Luckily, my team was pretty awesome about it. They were really conscious about those kinds of issues. And so they would not even – they would just say, Jesse's right. Like, they wouldn't even ask what was going on. They wouldn't give it a second look. They would just be like, Jesse knows what she's doing. So, yeah. But that was – oh, God. It's the worst.
It's exhausting to deal with, wasn't it?
So exhausting because like besides, I mean, you know, just for on several levels, it is exhausting.
Every little punch is like a little punch in your credibility, right? Yeah. Whereas like, even though you know exactly what's going on and you may know a problem backwards and forwards and be like, yes, that clicking noise means your hard drive is dead. Or yes, I've studied, you know, Final Cut Pro for 5 years and they'll still be like, oh, well, I usually work with this person.
Yeah.
It's very cautious.
They're not saying straight out that it might be because you're female. They're just saying this person makes me feel more comfortable as their way of kind of getting out of having to say.
Yeah.
And I mean,
your ovaries exclude you from this conversation.
Yeah. And while like they may think that they're wording it carefully, it's not that I'm making the assumption that they like it is obvious that is what the difference is in a lot of cases when you're dealing, I guess, in retail tech situations like that.
Well,
the signs are easy to read.
Sorry, not to jump in there, but how many times?
How dare you with a panel of females jump in? Go for it.
It's good. I'm a punching bag. It's perfect.
Aww, what's up, guy?
Yeah, I know. I miss you. How many times, Jesse, were you asked to be the second opinion of a male colleague's diagnosis?
Oh, absolutely never.
Okay.
Absolutely never. Now,
okay. I was sure that was the answer. I just wanted to.
But is that because she's
point.
Is that because she's female, or is it that because, again, you know, just egos of like, you know, once someone makes a diagnosis, they don't want someone second guessing it.
Like, well, so my guess would be that, like, if all things being equal, the fact that Jesse had multiple times that she was asked, that somebody wanted a second opinion,
right.
The odds would have be that she would be asked at one point. And
yeah.
The fact that it never happened underscores the point that I think you're not just interpreting it and being like emotional lady, you're actually correctly interpreting the fact that they don't trust you simply because you're a woman.
Well, there's a very different, there's a different approach when someone's, you know, doubting your credibility versus someone's just teed off. Like, in general, if someone wants a problem fixed and like they're just mad and they think that you're incompetent, just plain incompetent, it's like, get me a manager. I want to talk to a manager. I want,
right.
you know,
right.
I want this fixed. When it's, oh, what does he think? What does that person think? It's
right.
It's much less confrontational. Like, the people who are actually mad at you act out as if they're mad at you. The people who just don't trust you are a lot shiftier in there.
Right.
And that's
The people who are mad are just upset that their hard drive has died and they want
exactly.
it. They want to hear something else.
Anything else but something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you'll encounter that also. People who are just plain angry. I understand that. Like, I would also be angry. Well, I mean, I'm probably, let's be honest, I wouldn't be angry. I'd just be like, okay, I have to get out of place. But, you know, I understand, just like, I want to talk to a manager, like escalating it up to the second tier of employership, but not just to like another rando
right.
who's standing right next to me, like one of my peers. That's annoying.
Well, I'm going to throw something out because I think that this also might be a factor. Like, you guys are all really pretty girls. And I think that if you looked like Amy Farrah Fowler, like, maybe they would think that you were geekier and then, you know, you'd have more geek creds and you would, you know, again, get that questioning. But there's also this dynamic of, if you're a pretty girl, then you mustn't have used your brains to get to where you're going, which is completely ridiculous, of course. But, you know, that might also play a factor.
So
yeah.
something I've had to learn in tech is, you know, my job before I worked, you know, being a professional game developer is I worked in politics. And you
did
know, which
you
is
really?
A, I did.
That's
I did.
So cool.
I did. Believe it or not, the
just
the skills
for punishment.
Yeah, the skills I learned learning to fundraise and do all of that is actually very helpful when you're trying to start a
that
company.
Is true.
Believe it
I
or
bet.
Not,
that
it
is
was
true.
It was a fantastic background for it. But my point is, when I got into this field at first, you know, I dressed a lot more, you know, pencil skirts and stuff like that. And what I had to learn is there's a certain coded language to the way that you dress. And like, I went to PAX this weekend and put like this huge bright red neon anime streak in my hair, because that's how you like give yourself power and credibility, by like coding in the way you dress, if that makes sense to you. So I find I'm very conscious to send those cues to people. I don't know if you guys do this, but when I'm in a professional situation with someone, I will, like, you know, Guy, I wasn't trying to establish this with you last night, but like, we were talking about OpenGL and iOS and, you know, material shaders and powers right. of two and Unreal. And I will actually very deliberately use language like that, because it kind of sends a code, like, it gives you power.
Yeah.
It establishes
right.
your bona fides. Do you guys have to do that too? Do you find yourself kind of learning ways around this?
Oh yeah, no question.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially when I first got into sort of the tech writing industry, I came from a completely different career, and I knew nobody. And very, very quickly, if you kind of feel like you open your mouth and like stupid brain comes out, or you're like, you're just repeating random words and you're like, I'm basically just listing off keywords in the hopes that like, if I check these 10 boxes, I'll get a stamp of approval and then I can just be myself and
right.
they can see that, yes, I actually do know my stuff.
Yeah, my word
unlocked.
Was algorithm. I would just say the word algorithm in a sentence and then like people would get it.
Right.
She actually knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, ooh. And I don't. I don't.
You just know
that.
The
that's
one
the
word.
Best one. Yeah, there's definitely a difference unfortunately still with just being female, you're not given the right away being a guy in tech. It's easier to get that kind of accolades of that you probably know what you're doing and you're good at it. Whereas you kind of have to establish yourself first a little bit more being mm-hmm. female, or you have to kind of go through the tweets or the comments of, your sexuality or being hit on, and you have to kind of go through the field. It's almost like going through a minefield. You kind of have to try to find your path to make sure that you're respected by uh-huh. those around you, and they understand that, what you say means what you say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the somewhat depressing thing about that, at least for me, was, I have never actually, as a writer, I have never had a super bad experience at a conference. But I have to wonder how much of that is based on the male company that I keep, where like when I came into this field, I had a couple of people who were very well respected on my side who introduced me as like, this is Serenity. She knows her stuff. She's really smart. You should talk to her. And does that make sense to anybody, where it's like mm-hmm. how much of it yeah. is based on your own credibility and how much of it is based on like the shield of men who vouch for you?
Right.
Yeah. Oh. I have my one conference anecdote. Well, I mean, I have several others, but I don't talk about the other ones. but my one,
on
which is, I know, it was like Macworld. I think it's WWDC. And I had gone to, a party gathering thing at a hotel bar after work. So I was like wearing a sweater and jeans and like glasses and a ponytail. And I was like in line for the bar, and these two guys came up to me and they're just like, excuse me, we just have to ask, are you an escort?
Oh my, jeez.
And I've told that story on a podcast before, so I apologize to anybody who has heard me tell that before.
It's still a good story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so,
it's a bad story. I was there with you. Like,
acknowledgement of a bad story that can happen. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Guy, you were like, there that night.
You came back and you're like, you were floored.
I was floored. John Gruber, who was already hammered, was just like, I'm going to go beat him up. Yeah. He like turned around, and then like other people went up and talked to him, and then he forgot. But
yeah.
for like a second, he was ready to pummel them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. I had at PAX this weekend, one of the women that was working the show with me, somebody came up to her and asked if, he could touch her butt. And,
what?
You know,
what?
It's, yeah, it was, you know, it's again, it's a death of a thousand cuts. I feel like all too often guys feel that, sexism in tech has to be, some awful madman incident, like, having people mm-hmm. ask if you're an escort at a tech party. But I also feel like all too often it's, having your opinion invalidated.
Yes.
I feel like it's yeah. having people tell mm-hmm. you your perceptions are wrong. I've had seven rape threats sent to me this year, just for being someone that's outspoken in the industry. And, that's certainly awful, but you can kind of file that away in your mind under crazy. It's, when you try to make reasonable points about what you think or believe, and there's just this army of people lined up to explain to you just how wrong you are.
Or just dismiss you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just not listen while you speak.
Right.
Which is almost more painful.
Yeah.
Being, you can almost write off being asked if you're an escort because it's so, over the top and horrific. And everyone will understand that. But often, unless you're going through it, you wouldn't see that, if you speak and people aren't really paying attention, or, then someone else, a guy, says the same comment that you had said before, and everyone's like, that's an amazing idea. And you're kind of left sitting there saying, that was actually pretty good when I said it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. They brush over.
Yeah.
I remember when Georgia was co-hosting the iMore show regularly, she would often say, I wish Apple would do this, or I don't think the iPad 3 is a good product. They should have done something else. And we would get horrible feedback. She's an idiot. She's stupid. Why do you have her on the show? You know, she has no place being there. And every single time she was absolutely right, but she was given absolutely no credit for it. And that's when I started to see if anyone else had said that, we would not have gotten a single piece of feedback.
Yeah, you're held to a really impossible standard. I mean, you're held to double standards and triple standards over your appearance, your competency, mm-hmm. your ability to do work after you have children, your every bit of it. And it's just it's there's no other word for it but exhausting.
You know, we spoke a lot about men versus female in tech, but I have to say also women, we're not by and large great to each other either. We're kind of often pitted against each other, or if two women are on a show, there's always going to be someone. I forget which show I was hosting, but they talked about our chest size versus the other woman that hosts the show. Like we're often pitted against each other, and sometimes other women themselves. Yeah.
Really? Sorry. I didn't want to interrupt that thought, but are you really?
Oh yeah, really.
Shenanigans, guy. It's life is a shenanigans. That's
things other people think what's will happening. Be funny.
I wish you could see my face now because I know
what your face looks like.
Yeah, I know.
No, I've definitely experienced that too. I've experienced it with. I find women in the game dev industry really fall into two categories, and the first. That I believe I fall into is I kind of see every woman I run into in my field as kind of an ally and awesome by default. Do you know what I mean? Like there's so few of us here. It's like, if you need anything professionally, call me. If you need help networking or anything I can do for you, I'm here. Like we're all in this fight together. And, I think that's many of us. I think the other group of us, unfortunately, to tell a quick story, I was out to dinner with five female colleagues in game dev a few months ago. And one of the women I was with was commenting on some new intern they had at their very large Boston game dev company. And it's just blasting her for quote unquote stripper hair, which is just completely uncalled for.
Sorry, what is stripper hair?
It just pretty hair. Big hair. I don't know.
She conditions.
I wasn't aware of that. Yeah. Hairspray required stripper added to it.
And my theory about that is I think some women that go into tech kind of, do you know what it's like in high school when the girls are so mean? And because of that, they kind of see guys as like this better gender or kind of are angry at, being female or just kind of are conditioned to be kind of scared of other women. And I do think you see that in tech with women that are actively hostile to other women in tech.
Do you think the culture sets up a catfight sort of situation?
Sometimes. I do.
Yeah, for some people, right? Like it depends
how they react. Absolutely. Yeah.
Serenity, you were going to...
Yeah. It's just a weird sort of intimidation factor. And actually there's the weird third category too, which I don't think is necessarily people, like I don't think this is women by and large, but I think everyone has these thoughts now and again, even when they don't want to, which is when you run into a woman in technology who is either nervous and stumbling or someone who legitimately doesn't know their stuff, whether they're a newbie and trying to learn or whether they just don't care and they're just there to have like fun at a party. Like I hate myself when I find myself thinking, man, this is the person that like is giving a lot of us a bad name. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, and then I feel horrible about myself because I'm thinking I don't actually believe that about this girl. I'm sure this girl is perfectly nice. I'm sure this girl is smart. But you get defensive, even like not even consciously.
Uh-huh. And there's plenty of guys that give guys a bad name.
Oh yeah.
There's enough. Hey, you're on my show, you jerk.
Everyone gives Guy English a bad name.
You know what?
Twitter followers will double from this.
Oh god. It just occurred to me while you were saying that, and I'm doing it right now, which is why it's doubly long. I often pause when I'm posing a question. I don't speak extemporaneously as well as any of you do, and you're the guests. It's occurring to me now after that last comment that if I was a woman, I probably would not be considered, oh, he's a thoughtful interviewer. I think people would be like, this person just can't get it together and she's a ditz. And it's unfair. Like that. I'm not great at formulating sentences quickly, and I do choose my words carefully, but that's me. I'm sorry. And I think I get away with it because I'm an established white guy. So it works. But I can see that being a detriment to somebody who otherwise would be accepted as a completely intelligent person, but because they're a woman, they're sort of dismissed.
I think that it happens in any field where, women are starting to establish themselves, though. And it doesn't mean that it's okay. Please don't send me a whole bunch of angry tweets. But I think that that's what happens, is that you are held at the beginning to a higher standard as you have to kind of establish yourself. And the first pioneer women at many, like even in like, you know, Amelia Earhart or many of the different doctors or Marie Curie, like a whole bunch of different women that went into the field had to be so much more brilliant and fight so much harder because they were the first, and because they're one of the first, they're just looked at and seen. And, you know, you can notice that we're female. It's not like you can become invisible and not be known for who you are. So it happens a lot in those fields. And so the first set of women usually go through, you know, the wars to help establish. And then it usually becomes much more easy afterwards. That's
all. Is that true, though? Because there's still that massive pay gap.
There still is, but there's this problem of like you rush and you work yourself to death for a certain amount of time. And then some people, not all people, but you get the respect and the acceptance of most of your peers, and you can let off the gas a little bit and like maybe not work yourself 80-hour weeks or not focus on every single word you say and practice things that you would otherwise say flawlessly in the mirror because you're afraid of like someone mishearing or misunderstanding. But there's, you know, it's less of that push, but the push is still there for sure.
Yeah.
So what do you do? How do we get more women to feel comfortable and accepted in tech? Because there's so many fewer women that are going into technology versus men.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but my company, Giant Space Cat, we're one of the, you know, the few all-female pro game dev teams in the industry. And, you know, I think I take very seriously the leadership role that we have. You know, like, for instance, we have a 18-year-old intern right now, you know, that's interested in being a game developer. I'm making available, you know, my lead animator to spend time with her and to teach her how to do this. You know, I spent this morning, we're going to, you know, be teaching her Agile and Scrum. And I think like immediately, I think there's a real, I would say, moral responsibility for everyone here and all the women, you know, that listen to this podcast to mentor other women, to make sure we're out there being supportive to other women, to, you know, when our friends want jobs, to fight for our friends to get those jobs. I mean, guys are out there doing that, and that is the way that the world works. So I, first of all, we have a real moral imperative to make that happen. I think beyond that, I think for myself, I understand at Giant Space Cat how my decisions have been different having all women on my staff. For instance, I'm a non-parent. But, you know, my co-founder had a daughter 2 years ago. And, you know, that's massively raised my consciousness about the need for sane employment policies in tech towards parents. You know, she was actually working part-time when she was pregnant and was actually let go from that job as soon as she told them she was pregnant. And
is that legal?
I was, you know, I wasn't there.
Wow.
They may have said they had a different reason. You know, it's, I'm just telling you what happened. But I can also, I just think that like once you get women up to management roles. Once you get women in charge of venture capital, like looking in, you know, looking at startups and granting that, I think we have to get women into positions of authority because power. Because we do have this different experience and we have this different perspective from our lived experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so many of these problems solve themselves. Groups are better when they have people of both genders in them. Like men bring a really wonderful, great perspective. I have a husband. He does things and thinks things that I just don't think about, and vice versa. It's that way for larger organizations too. And I think like we both have so much to offer each other that, you know, it's better when there is diversity.
Brianna, what do you do when someone comes up to you and says, like, if men did that same thing and had an all-male force, that wouldn't be right and no women would stand for it? What is your reply to that?
I think that because game dev is so overwhelmingly male currently, I think there's a need for something like Giant Space Cat in the industry.
You say all the other companies are already mostly male, so it doesn't really matter.
I think there are many of those out there already. You know, right. That said, as we grow, you know, like this is more like for us as a startup at this phase, you know, our game cost $500,000 to ship. And I looked at people that I trusted and could work well with, and we really clicked, and it happened to be women. You know, as we're growing, as, you know, our capital increases and we move into the sequel, you know, I'm certainly going to look at diversifying my team some. But even still, I think that you do need something. I think there's a real role out there for Giant Space Cat. I mean, here in Boston, you know, I'm thinking very seriously about, you know, getting together all the women over at Proletariat and, you know, all these other game dev companies so we can come together and, you know, have these networking events together. And I just think it's so necessary. Right. Yeah.
It's like a women's union.
Yeah.
It's the old boys club.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting because I have, you know, I have a lot of friends who consider themselves feminists, and also a lot of friends in the queer community. Mm-hmm. And I saw a post on Tumblr earlier this week talking about gay pride parades. Mm-hmm. And the idea being like the pride parade is not excluding anybody else. It's celebrating our right to be who we want to be. And you don't need a parade because you already have the right to be who you are. Right. You know, you're not getting physically pushed down and saying, you know, you're not the one who's being paid less or being told that you can't marry whoever you want to be married. I'm mixing my metaphors here, but you know what right. I mean, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I, you know, and you bring up, you know, gay rights, and I think something I've really had my consciousness raised about in the last few years is, you know, the same playbook that kind of shows women the door in tech, you know, this is used for gay people. I mean, how many Black coders do you know? I mean, there are things that are pushing them kind of away from this field too. I mean, how many African-American female coders do you know? And I think this whole field just really needs diversity. It really needs these opinions. We need to be really conscious about these power structures that kind of systematically keep other people out.
Right. Jesse, yeah. how do you feel about, you know, how we can increase the women's role and especially with you running you know, being a CEO and mm-hmm. what
in
do you feel?
Otherwise all male company. Right. I've told my coworkers multiple times that the next person we hire has to be a girl because I just can't take it anymore. which I feel like they're fine with. I mean, it's interesting. Like, you know, you see, I think kind of mirroring like the liberal washing over of society right now, which is that like my company is mostly people in their 20s. I think one is in like 30. So, you know, younger crowd. And one of them was saying to me one day that he's just like, you know, it's weird when I see a company with no women in it, it seems like there's something wrong with them or something. And I think that that's an interesting mentality, like that women seem to legitimize a company. Like if you have a company, they are 30 people now and there are no girls that work there, it's probably because something is wrong with them. Yeah. like either yeah. that they have not interviewed any or that they have and offer jobs and they don't take them. And I can actually say this, that I we worked with a client in the past where I think that they had gotten to 50 and like two of them were girls. And oh my God, being there was just horrible. Not because mm-hmm. like there was any sexism going on, but because the culture just mm-hmm. becomes this weird like cesspool. It wasn't even fratty. It was just, I can't explain it. I can't explain how weird it was. I think that encouraging people to recognize that and maybe see what it is like in a more gender balanced company where things are, I don't want to say that girls make things a certain way and that men make things a certain way. But in my own personal experience, I find that communication is often much better at companies mm-hmm. that have more women. Things end up, not moving faster, but maybe more efficiently. It's good for business. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, one of you were saying that, like, it takes both genders. Like, I think that it's better together. I don't know. Now what do people do? I think starting back at the thing that we kind of talked about, in the beginning of this podcast, which is that conference that Wall Street Journal is putting on. Oh. I think that the best way to do it is starting from the top and going down, because mm-hmm. moving from the bottom up is slow and you have that constant pressure from like above that is just like people pushing you down. Sorry, I'm getting super like super bra burny right now. But
preach it.
No, I love that as a verb. That's great. Yeah.
But like, you know, the thing is that like there are like, I don't care. Like anybody who looks at that and is just like, well, you know, they just wanted the most qualified, like that's bullshit. That's not true. Like
that'd be hilarious if they asked like 8 women and they all said no. But anyways.
Yeah. That would be funny. I would love if they released a statement that was like, well, we tried.
And we're like, oh,
I don't think that many people would say no to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, exactly. But I think,
sorry, Jesse.
You know, yeah, you have to start from the top up, and I think that it's important for women to see that it's possible. Like, I think that you look at industries like fashion, and that's a thing where it's just like Anna Wintour is at the top, and for you know most girls, like if you go into like magazine editing, then like mm-hmm. that seems like a really attainable goal. As a girl going into tech, being the CEO of a large company seems like a completely unattainable goal to me.
Yeah.
And it's because there isn't any representation at top. It just doesn't seem like it's possible. And so I think that that is like a big barrier to entry for people.
Right.
Is it not troubling, though, that Anna Wintour is most often portrayed as a bitch?
Well, that's another thing. I think she's rad. So
yeah.
I think bitches get stuff done.
But that's kind of what happens, right? If a woman is really strong and stands up for themselves, they do usually get that label of being bitchy in comparison. Yeah. And if they look beautiful and wear something that's form-fitting, then they end up getting the other of that they must be slutty and they must have slept their way to the top. So, you know, it also becomes difficult. I think that something that you mentioned, Jesse, like about, you know, seeing other women that are there and knowing that it's possible, I think that's a really big deal because, you know, like when CSI came out, a whole bunch of people went into forensics and there was a huge boom. So I think the media can play a really good role as well in saying that it's possible to be a female coder. And, you know, like if you watch The Matrix, Trinity was a coder, but then her entire role became nixed except for the real cool part at the beginning.
They undid it all.
She became the girlfriend.
She became the girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
The love community. But, you know, I think that bringing your daughters and stuff to work, teaching them to code and program and to take, you know, let them know that they can do whatever they want, I think is also really important as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you see other people and, you know, it makes it possible for you as well. It gives you something else that you think that you would be able to do if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't agree more.
I wanted to ask Serenity something because, you know, Serenity works in media. I've noticed several times, or at least it became very evident to me, that I would get emails where it was addressed to Renee, R-E-N-E-E, and they would have a very different tone than the normal emails I got. And most of the time, I would just ignore it because, you know, we get a lot of email that needs to be ignored. But when I would write back, I would sometimes just at the end, not always, but sometimes I would just say, by the way, it's Renee with one E. That's the male version. The female version has two E's. And the entire conversation would change immediately, shockingly sometimes. And that, for me at least, you know, just saying it, I was male would change the conversation. But I was wondering if you sort of noticed the same sort of thing when you get communicated to as a member of the press.
Definitely. I mean, I think some, like most times when it's people pitching a product, they want to, you know, of course, get on your good side. So I find that it's a lot of smoozy, and sometimes it's even a little like it goes the other way. It goes a little bit creepy. Or it was, I got one email, I want to say like 4 or 5 months ago, that was like, oh, hi, Serenity. I noticed that you, you know, you really like space. And I think, yeah, it's just,
I'm going to say that next time I see you.
Everyone should say that as their opening line to Serenity.
I hear you really like space.
Oh, God. Well, but yeah, it's, yeah.
It's so funny because actually I got a tweet, which I didn't reply to, but it was from the last ad hoc that we did that was on the Avengers and Captain America. And it is, thanks, Georgia. Is that the one where you shower in the review? If not, do you have a pic? It might have been to one of my reviews as well. Let me take a look what it's in. Yeah, and I'm just like,
do you know what? I got that same tweet.
Oh, well, then that's okay then.
No, I didn't. Forget about that it. That is insane. I would tweet that. That is.
Yeah, I think bananas. It might have been to one of my reviews, but it's just like.
But we have to delete a lot of comments. Well, not as much now. Now it's actually better, but for a long time, we had to delete a lot of comments on a lot of your posts.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, didn't you for a while just have my name be like, if they put my name in it, you had to block it so that you could go through and any of my reviews, you could take a look because they could be so. Biting.
I mean, no, not biting. They're beyond, like, disgustingly offensive.
Ugh. Yeah.
That's bananas. I can't.
That is.
Yeah. And sometimes when they're really cruel, I actually used to, I don't have the time anymore. But, you know, I used to write back and say, like, listen, you know, that's not cool. And then they would totally turn face and, like, I'm suddenly human again and, you know, apologize profusely for acting that way. Yeah. But it's, almost like it seems like that would be okay to do it, you know.
You weren't a human being to them.
Right. Right.
It's all well and good to make fun of somebody on the internet until you realize that that person is flesh and blood. I mean, it's lots of people do this, but unfortunately, I feel like we sometimes have a more prominent target plastered on our foreheads.
Right. Right.
See, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, please.
Oh, I was just going to say I've had the opposite experience where, yeah, my email address is Brianna Wu at, you know, Giant Space Cat. And then someone wrote me when we were hiring voice actors for our game. And, you know, they wrote, hi, Brian Nawu. And it was this voice actress that included all these bikini pics of herself. And I'm showing them to my team, like, well, this is kind of awkward. it's like I didn't know what to write to her. I'm like, yeah, well, hi, this is Brianna. You know, like, so that's been my one experience of being on the other side. So,
yeah, I think it does have to do with areas of that you exist in too. Because I noticed, like, Macworld as a whole, I'd say 95% of the commenters in the community that we have on that website. Have always been very respectful to me. And I never saw the, like, ooh, Serenity's cute either. And like, I saw it a little bit on Twitter, but I never saw it on Macworld. And then the first time that I went on This Week in Tech, I made the mistake of having the IRC chat open. And it was like, it was weird because none of the comments were disparaging about what I was saying, which is always my, you know, back fear is, oh God, I don't sound competent. But a lot of it was just like slightly off and slightly creepy comments about my appearance. And it's like, oh, I would rather you actually talk about what I'm talking about and not what earrings I'm wearing or how I'm wearing my hair or how you think that shirt would look. Like, yeah. And I'm not even quoting the good ones.
See, but, I don't mind if they comment on like my earrings or my hair. Like, I figure if it's like they can see me, it's kind of like what people do when, like, as a way to comment on things. I would much rather they're talking about what I'm talking about, which is just guys, hint to guys. Girls would be much more impressed if you don't just go up to, anyways, comment on what they're saying. That means you care.
Not what they're wearing.
Though I don't mind that as long as it's done in a respectful manner.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's, not, it's, if I'd it's hit creepy. That.
Yeah, but the fact that this is
yes,
the fact that it ever comes up is weird. People yeah? very, very seldomly comment on what I look like.
Not publicly.
Not to your face.
That's what we were talking about right
actually,
before
you know the
what? Podcast.
Jessie
started.
Gave me like a 6 on 10 on her podcast, I think. With Mike Monteiro. It was a good episode. Kind of mean.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, she doesn't remember.
No, you
at
literally
because
you know I listened, so you cracked a mean joke, and that's
yeah.
Fine. That's fine.
She didn't think that you listened. Now it was just her test to see
she
if you
does know
listened.
Because I sponsor the show every now and then, and she reads out my name at the top.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm just thanks, being. Guy. I'm just combative. With, I know.
I want to talk a little bit about the clothing thing, like the way and. Brianna, I think that you talked a little bit about this before, like, you know, dressing the part. And,
it's exhausting.
It's
exhausting.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. No, I am a person. I don't – some of you know me. I dress pretty femininely. Like, I wear dresses a lot, like pink dresses. I dress like Zooey Deschanel. Or
oh, that's
like
so cute.
What's no, I dress like Suri Cruz. Like we have all of the same clothes.
Horrible. I'm gonna be taking a look at all of your clothing.
Yeah. And I made like there was a point, I think, like, I don't know, it was like a year after I moved to San Francisco where that's how I was dressing, and I started realizing, oh, this is not how people are dressing around me. People are dressing much more conservatively, like jeans and sweaters, which, you know, to be fair, I am wearing jeans and a sweater today. But I made this conscious decision to be like, you know what? Like, fuck it. I'm just going to like wear the craziest shit I want and make people deal with it. Cause that's like another thing is that I feel like I don't like this notion that girls who are blonde are dyeing their hair brown so that they can be taken more seriously. Yeah. I don't like that people are wearing pants instead of skirts just because like they don't want creepy comments from their coworkers. I hate that.
Right.
I think it's dumb.
Which kind of, yeah, I agree with you. You do dress really cute, by the way. I just saw a picture. It's adorable. But no, I think that you're right. It actually, like, I think that that's a great way of making your stance of saying that, you know, and helping other people be able to dress the way that they want and that they should still be taken seriously, even if they're wearing a Hello Kitty t-shirt. I might have one.
I think over here on the game dev side, I think there are all these messages out there that if you are a girly girl or you do like dressing up or if you like makeup or if you like, you know, put effort into your appearance, that that somehow makes you less legit. And it's just a lie. It's, you know, you have to be the most true version of yourself. But what you find is like you're kind of altering yourself or just the second guessing yourself in how you're dressing or how you're presenting yourself. It's, you know, it's this entire layer of politics that you have to navigate.
Yeah.
Brianna, can it go too far though?
How so? How so?
Could someone dress too scantily and it's just not professional at all? Or do you think that they should be able to dress no matter, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that like scantily is just like, that's like different than the style of it, I guess. Like I wouldn't be wearing like a leopard print, super tight cleavage dress to work every day because that's just not like work clothes.
Well,
right?
Exactly.
But I think
I'm changing my outfit for tomorrow now.
Yeah.
So I actually have a story about that. That obviously I did the keynote at i360 this year and I made a friend there. And you know, my particular friend was, you know, she's absolutely gorgeous. You know, I friended her on Facebook. We talk a lot and like totally love her. But she was also she does, you know, she was posting stuff on her Facebook and it was really, really out there. And you know, I had to kind of pull her aside and be like, look, you know, I think you're gorgeous. I totally support you. I'm your friend. But I've also got to tell you, if you, you know, present yourself to this way constantly out there on Facebook, it's going to have consequences to your career. And, you know, I do think that that line exists. I just think that this this message that you can't be girly or you can't be feminine, or mm-hmm. you know, you have to wear a Daring Fireball t-shirt and jeans and have unwashed hair for 3 weeks to be a legit mm-hmm. coder. I think it has consequences.
Right? Yeah.
I love that you pulled her aside and said something, because a lot of people would let them sink themselves. But I think that's so nice, because, you know, if I have like food between my teeth and I'm going to go on like, you know, help a girl out, let me know so that, you know, I'm not going to sink my own ship. And a lot of people might not, you know, want to have to go there and say, maybe that's not as appropriate, or, you know, your skirt is stuck, you know, in your undies. Yeah. Stop here. Like, let me help you out here for a second.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, it's being a good friend to them. And earlier when I was talking about being a mentor to other women in tech, that's mm-hmm. not just, drinks and dinner uptown. Like, that's sometimes telling them the hard stuff too. So,
exactly.
Yeah. I think the problem, I have seen this thing where, because Twitter is all text-based, if I ever do like tweet about like clothes or shoes, I've gotten weird comments that equate just plain old feminine dressing with like sluttiness.
Oh.
And that's what bugs me so much, which is just like, they think that like wearing any dress is just like super sexual, which I don't think it is. There are lots of really non-sexy dresses. Like tons of them, like just they abound. And like, same with, I think there was this like incident where I had bought these goofy like glitter Keds. I wore
what
them,
are
like,
Keds? Twice.
Keds are like tennis shoes, okay. 80s tennis shoes. Like, they're usually white Keds. I don't know. I bought ones with glitter on them. I tweeted like, just bought some glitter shoes, and somebody was just like, oh, polishing up your stripper pole. And it's like, these have shoelaces on them. Like, that's not, I don't know. It's frustrating. And I think that part of it is that like, there's such underexposure, I think, for some like basement dweller types, to feminine things, that it's just really all or nothing. Like, oh, if she's wearing something sparkly, she must be ready to go. And,
I think it interacts with the dressing culture that's kind of shifted, and sort of like a tangential topic in that the majority of people out there our age, I don't think, you know, maybe they dressed up when they were younger and, you know, oh, you put on the nice dress to go to church or to go to a fancy event. But as we get older, the line has blurred so much between what's formal wear, what's office wear, what's casual wear, that mm-hmm. people automatically associate things with sparkles as being like slutty, because, oh, they only see things with sequins and like a Forever 21 discount bin.
Yeah.
When you're like, no, this was once a wonderful thing. It was on multi-million dollar dresses. You're costuming.
And like, there have been funny ones where like I wore I was wearing like a kind of a plain headband once, and somebody was like, why are you wearing a tiara? It's like, I'll take that. That's pretty funny. They just didn't know.
Guy or Renee, do you guys ever get like do you get a lot of comments about what you wear? Or
I wear a lot of sparkles. A lot of sparkles.
And you look fabulous, darling.
But only when I'm stripping.
I do, but only because I'm in video a lot, and whenever you're in video on YouTube, people have to leave comments. So I'll get comments about my hair or what I'm wearing, but they're just internet jerk kind of comments. They're not, I don't think it's the same thing. I think a lot of times, at least when I've seen it, some people feel threatened and they use those sort of tools as a way to try to disempower you. And I tried to just never give that any acknowledgement or credence, because no good can come of it. But I'm sure I get it to a far, far lesser degree than, I know for sure I get it less than Georgia does.
Yeah, I've only ever got a few comments, and it's always just been either a joke or nice in some way, you know. And it's a different world.
Like, I would love for people to just joke about, like, God, that would be the best. If people like made fun of the way I dressed, I would like welcome that. I would join them. But
I don't know if I welcome it. I had like a shirt on where, like, you know, I had like my belly, like in the video, like you could see like my belly a little bit when it was on the shirt, and like people were like the muffin top, and I went, Oh, really? I'm muffin topping in the video. And I was like, oh, that hurt. That cut.
That's just now not I'm, polite to anybody. It's like, that's not even a gender thing. That's just an asshole.
I get it.
Just being an asshole at that point.
Totally true.
I think the window's a little bit, not a little bit. I mean, it's not even the window that's a little bit open. It's the door is flung wide open when it happens to be a woman that's being commented about.
I know the other day, one of, someone was just holding a phone in a picture and the comment was, wow, those are real sausage fingers. You're going to have a heart attack in the next few days.
And he took
that really badly.
Yeah, they cut. That is true.
We were expanding to basically internet. Stop being a jerk.
That's our message.
That's our anti-sexism message.
But as much as I comment on that, you know, that I'm not experiencing sexism based on that. I'm not having my opportunities curtailed because of that. I'm not being put in awkward or inappropriate situations because of that. I'm not being exploited because of that. So I think it's still different in kind.
Yes, it's not a character assassination just because of the way that you're dressing. They're not saying that you're not, that you shouldn't be there, or that makes the, you know, it means that you're not.
They're coming after me, not my gender.
Right, or your skill or your talent.
I think Bianna made a good point a while ago, where I think you said death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah,
which is you can take one or two of these things and just roll with them.
Uh-huh.
If it's day in, day out, just little jabs, it adds up. And it doesn't just add up in a sort of natural way. It's like the sum of the parts are greater than the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And that it changes the way you have to live your life, and it changes the way you expect things. It changes, like, when you get on stage to speak at PAX, you are thinking different things than your male colleagues are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's, you know, like, sometimes I'll have something particularly nasty sent to me or emailed to me. And, you know, I'll, like, my husband will come home and I'll just be in tears about it. Like, it has an effect after a while. You know, it hardens you in a way, and it makes me that much more hell-bent that the bastards are not going to push me out of this field. But, you know, it definitely takes away your happiness to a certain extent. So
I like that you said, though, that it toughens you up, too.
Oh, because, absolutely.
You know, I love that, like, fierce kind of thought that, you know, because you have to deal with this, because, you know that right now that's the way that it is, it kind of makes you, like, stronger for it, and knowing that, you know, by you sticking it out, you're making it easier for everyone else that comes after.
Yeah, I like that, but it makes me sad at the same time, because that's a mental effort and deficit that you're, or emotional deficit that you're spending emotional capital overcoming this thing that you shouldn't have to, when you could be using emotional capital to overcome the stresses that you've got in running a startup.
Yeah.
In the games business.
There was
a startup in the games business is stressful enough.
Yeah.
You're doubling down on the stress at this point, right?
There was this great Maya Angelou line about being pecked to death, and at some point realizing, or at least she realized, that she wasn't in there, that if she didn't exist in this world, that person's sentiment or comment would have gone on anyway.
Yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. I feel like particularly in my field, I mean, I think the Mac crowd, generally speaking, like, Serenity, I don't have your job, but to me, generally speaking, being on the outside, it seems like a lot more civilized than, you know, the games world from my point of view.
Without a doubt.
But that said, I feel like over here in the games industry, I feel so strongly that we are really at a turning point in history. And, you know, like we were talking at the beginning about 50% of gamers being women nowadays. And that gives me so much hope. You know, when I was 18, like, you know, this just didn't exist. Like, this conversation was not happening. It was 100% guys. And what really gives me hope and makes me feel like the battles that make, you know, getting death threats sent to me worth it is knowing that, you know, our 18-year-old intern at our company is going to have opportunities you know, to go and do things that, you know, I didn't when I was her age. And I think it's so imperative that we don't let people intimidate us and we stay here and we speak up for our experiences and we change things. And it will have a cost, but it's so important to fight for.
I think it's been a big year for that industry. My oldest industry, I worked there for like about a decade. The work that Anita Sarkisian, I think, Sarkisian did this year was phenomenal with her feminist frequency stuff.
Yeah,
the Tropes wonderful. Against Women in Games is great. It's
I have to tell you, after you see that video and you hear her talking about the Smurfette principle, you'll never again watch a movie and go like, oh my God, there's one girl in the cast and not get angry again. It really enlightens you. It's awesome.
Yeah, should really try to find a link for that because she did a great job. Mm-hmm. And she got an award from the
GDC
last week.
Yep. Longer than that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Whatever. Whenever GDC was a little bit of a while ago. And that gave me a little bit of heart in that she went out on a limb and she got, man, did she get hated.
Yeah.
And I did like that the industry in the form of the GDC recognized the risk and rewarded it. Because ultimately, it's a pretty liberal industry.
Except for
women, minorities, or like it's a weird thing. Okay, sorry.
Because like with her, it's easy to let me give you an example.
Yeah.
So I was out to dinner with some friends the other day, and this was literally right the same time that she was getting that award, and I was going out to dinner with I'm trying to talk very vaguely here. Someone that's very respected in my industry. And we're talking about the Lego movie that's out. Yeah. And I talked about how much this movie just drove me crazy because, here it is again where, it's all about the man and you have Emmett who's not as good a builder as Wildstyle and Wildstyle is just turned into the girlfriend for him. And, girls, there's like one woman for every 10 men, maybe. And the message again is men are builders and women are accessories. And I love this movie, but the message of the movie made me very angry. So here's a guy that's sitting there and completely supports the message of, Anita Sarkisian. But at the same time, he's sitting there and pounding on the table and telling me how I'm wrong and telling me how this movie is awesome and how women are not discriminated against and how he's so great and just shouting me down. And I think it's easy for GDC as an organization to stand behind this woman who has been treated horribly and says something that's so important. But at the same time, trying to draw your attention to the real damage of sexism in our industry happened at that table with this person in my industry, who's my friend that I respect, that's shouting me down and telling me I'm wrong. And I just think it's really important to keep that in mind.
Yeah. I think there can be a difference, right? Where you can say like, I like this piece of art, but it still has significant problems and it's not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And we can have an adult conversation about this, but there's still that impulse by certain folks who, may be quite supportive on the outside, but still have the instinct to immediately defend themselves and be like, oh, you're insulting, this movie was so great. What are you talking about? And it makes it seem like you're taking a much harsher position than you sometimes might actually be.
Right.
Right. It kind of goes back to the Bechdel, movie test, right? Of having two women that actually talk to each other. They're not talking about a male. They're talking about something that's going to, progress the story forward. And, how many movies actually pass that test?
Yeah.
And the Lego movie doesn't.
It's a great movie, though.
I did really enjoy it. But I actually did notice that there were only like two female characters. And again, it kind of reminded me of The Matrix, though, she, came in, saved the day, was amazing. And then her use as the movie went on became
the girlfriend.
Jesse, you run basically a design company. You deal with clients all the time. Do you notice that too? Are clients when you're the one who is engaging, when you're the one who's booking, when you're the one who's going over job offers and contracts, do you know, do they treat you properly, or do they try to defer to one of your male CEOs or one of the male members of your company?
Well, as the gatekeeper at Pacific Helm, they don't become clients if they don't respect me. So the people that we work with have all been fantastic, and I have not had that problem at Pacific Helm because I have the privilege of choosing who I work with. It's been really awesome. My coworkers are pretty, I wouldn't say they're like sensitive about it, but like they get it. And so I think that, you know, if they sense that a client, or like maybe a potential client is trying to bypass me, they are pretty good at redirecting it back. I mean, like, I want to say, I don't like, there haven't been any like good anecdotes, but, you know, earlier on, there were a couple of times when like people would maybe try and circumvent my ruling, by like emailing Louis or emailing Brad. And that was like in the days where like there were three of us working out of like Louis's living room. And it's just like, what do you think you're trying to bypass here? We're all sitting together on our computers. Like, it's just making you look more, like more of a dick. Yeah. like we're all talking to each other. We can hear you. but yeah, it's not really been much of a problem. Thankfully. So yeah. Well, it's great over here.
People who know Pacific Helm and know Louis and Brad, like, people will joke and say that you're the adult in that relationship.
It's yeah. not a joke, dude.
What else?
Hi, guys. It's not a joke.
Deadly serious.
But coming from the outside, I was just curious if that was a dynamic that people would understand going in. Like if you just presented yourself that way, if they would accept it, or if you still felt that constant, almost the stereotypical treatment.
You know, I think that having the title CEO in my email signature, like, makes that go away, like, immediately. Because like, that – and, like, we joke about how, like, that's not actually – like, legally, my title at Pacific Helm is general manager. CEO is kind of not serious. Like, it's a five-person company. It's silly to have, like, C-level executives in a five-person company. But mm-hmm. there's so much gravity that comes with that title where, you know, people know what CEO means. It means that it's the top. And so there is no further point of escalation. And so I think that because of that, they know they're stuck with me, which is fantastic.
You preemptively weaponized your title.
Yeah. I mean, I just recommend that to everybody else. Just put CEO in your signature,
right,
and then it's fine.
I wonder if that'll work for psychotherapy.
I very deliberately have stayed away from CEO because, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, Giant Space Cat has six people. So it's like, I don't know. But
Rihanna, you should probably be doing that.
Yeah, let me think about that. Yeah,
that sounds great.
Here's a question I would have for you is, do you find, I have found that being in charge of people has really changed my demeanor over the years. And do you know what I mean? Like the helm of being in command and making decisions all day long. So I guess my question to you would be like, how do you find your approach as a leader being a woman in the industry? Like, how do you feel it being different versus, you know, maybe the men that you know and respect that, you know, are your peers? Like for me, I find that there's a certain amount of, I find that there's an amount of empathy and like, I think that when I'm talking to people interpersonally, because when I'm talking to my team members, I'm always trying to communicate with them as an equal, like, let's make this decision together. Let me hear your input. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I have to pull out that, look, I'm in charge, this is my decision, this is how we're going to do it, like, I'll do that. But I think that I find that as a female leader, you have to have a very different approach to it. And I find it's a very,
I think it's hard because I've never been a male leader, so I don't know what it's like for them.
I kind of reject the premise of the question. That's just being a good leader.
Yeah.
It's the consensus building. At least it's like, tell me everything you know. And I've heard this from like five different people. Like the entire team has been telling me everything they know about a different problem. And then I'll make a decision and I'm going to try to convince you it's the right decision. And if you're still going to, you know, refuse, then I'm going to get the stick out and just make you do it. Oh. And that's just being a good leader. I don't necessarily think that's a female thing. I think that's more of a leadership style thing.
I guess I would say that with people outside of the company, like relationships that I have,
or that could be
people
different.
People I can't fire, that I've taken, like I've written emails that are like, look, this has to be done. This is unacceptable. And I know, or at least I theorize, I feel very certain that being a woman in the industry, that's taken very differently. Like we've talked here about the fear of being perceived as a bitch.
Yes.
And I think that it can kind of limit what action she can take sometimes.
Yeah. I think the process that you described is great, especially internally. If you're working with the team, that's great. The perception is, I totally agree, where a man may say, just get it done. And it would be fine. It's like, wow, he really put his foot down. A woman may be perceived to just be being a bitch.
Yeah.
Externally, things get a lot more muddy. Because you're probably talking more of a partnership. And that always confuses things because you don't have there's no clear power structure in a partnership. That's the point of it being a partnership, right? Like everything's up in the air. So that does complicate things, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think that men really would even think about it. I think that it just goes into the difference in mind frame that it's more cognizant of the way that you interact and that it will be interpreted, where I think that men don't have to do that. They don't care.
I certainly don't think of, well, here, you know what? Here's a luxury in a weird way. When I have to deal with other people, either internally or outside, most often the gender issue doesn't come up because I'm in the majority gender. So I don't have to think about this.
Right.
And that's a total luxury. One of many that I enjoy. So I don't know. Let me just recuse myself again from this conversation. I've come to totally see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I think your point's very valid. Please go ahead. Yeah.
Well, no, I thought you were talking about a leadership structure style, but you're right. There are issues here that I hadn't thought of. Sorry, Jesse. I hope you've had time to.
Oh no, it's okay. There are definitely certain, not necessarily direct like leadership, like being the boss of people, but like persuasion things. Where like I used to work at a company called Mule Design, and my boss is Mike Montero, who is like widely known on Twitter is like this kind of surly grump. In person, he's
a sweet guy.
He's so nice. But, you know, he would like go into kind of like Don Draper mode, right? Like where he would be persuading a client to go with a certain direction. And that has been a thing that I have never been able to pull off. And I really do think that like part of that is just like, having like a higher voice and like being small, you don't have like that gravitas that an old bearded man does. I don't think Mike is ever going to listen to this, so I can say anything I want about him. you know, and so I think that because of that, right? And I think that like that type of thing, that kind of that persuasion, that gravitas can help with leadership, and it can maybe ease some of it sometimes where you don't have to be trying so hard or at least appearing to try so hard to get people to do what you want. If you can like grunt at them and scare them into what you need them to be doing, that's just awesome. And it's just so easy.
Jesse, you won't be able to get. Do you know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah, and
like you're
I
not
going to
be a guy that looks like Montero.
No, never.
He scowls all the time. He's kind of like got a big ass graying beard. It's like you're not. Unless
and
you're
I'm
gonna, you know,
not,
you're
like,
not gonna be
I would
like that.
Be more intimidated by him than by me. Like that's not like I don't even think that that's necessarily a gender thing. I think that that's just like that's a human thing.
Yeah, that's a primate thing.
Yeah,
like, that is one big monkey.
Yeah, but then you know you have like. you know, email-based communication, which I do a ton of because a lot of our clients are remote. And I think that that in a lot of ways, levels the playing field for that, because you don't have that person breathing down your neck right there, like intimidating you physically. And by the way, Mike does not, he does not use intimidation tactics. I'm just saying that, like, it's a different thing when there's a person staring at you.
He's a wizened old man look to him that can sell an argument.
I'm not sure if a woman went out and recorded a video called Fuck You, Pay Me. I don't think that would be perceived in quite the same way. It's like, oh, here's a sage.
They would definitely be interpreted different.
Being a little different.
Vianna, if you haven't watched it, you should, because it's good.
Oh, it's wonderful. I love it. I used to work as a graphic designer, so I love that.
So this is a question that's been sort of on my mind as I've been listening to this discussion. Game development and design are very different. They're similar because obviously you need so much design in game development.
Sure.
But as a design shop, you can see design as like – or I can see clients perceiving design to be a soft – perceivably female, like womanly thing to do.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like a stereotypically.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I got to like pick
stuff.
Yeah. It's artsy fartsy.
Yeah.
Right? It's not hardcore.
Depends.
So does that maybe make it easier for you? Does that change the way people address the situation?
There have been times, not in like UI design, because that's so hand in hand with like engineering, but definitely like in logo design. What's funny, just as kind of like maybe an opposite reference to like working at the Genius Bar, where people would be like, well, what does he think? There have been times in design reviews where like Louis will be presenting his like icon directions or logo directions, and they'll be like, Jesse, what do you think? And, that was actually the first time that that has ever happened to me. Like, that somebody's been like, well, what does the girl think? Like, was in a design review at Pacific Helm, which I think is hilarious. I think it was like Biz Stone also, which makes it even funnier. Yeah. So I think that there are some things, some parts of, but that's a little bit more like in the, you know, graphic design art type world, less like UI design.
Right. Because I think it's interesting that your company is in a let's just say a more touchy-feely field. It's not, but it can be perceived as such. Where I think both Ren and Brianna are in more results-driven, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
I think you mean a masculine field.
I don't. No. That's not. That's so. That's the perception of the field, and that's what I'm trying to say. Without having all of you hate me, because I actually like you, and I don't want you to hate me.
No, I mean,
but you know what I mean? There are fields that are perceived to be more masculine.
Something either runs at 60 frames a second in Unreal or it doesn't. You know, like something compiles or it doesn't. It is more results driven. I'd agree with that. I find in my field, let me give you an example. Like right now, we are playtesting our game Revolution 60. And what we've really had to go out of our way, because most companies don't do this, is to make sure that women are represented in our playtesting groups. You know, we have people that are former staffers of other large companies, and women are just simply not included in the playtesting, which explains these impossible breasted, you know, like deeply misogynistic imagery, like you can see in games sometimes. And like,
Most of the time.
Yeah, let's be honest.
I'm going to ask you about Tomb Raider after.
I love that game. Well, the reboot. But everyone before that was awful. But yes. I guess I'm saying that, yes, it is a more traditionally masculine field. That said, in the case of this playtesting results, like showing our game to women, to more casual gamers, to a wide variety of people, made us get better data and refine the game in different ways that made it more accessible to those people if we had ignored them. So I think despite that masculine perception, I think that it's still really important to get people of, you know, both genders in there, because it leads to a better result.
You can't just make the box pink.
No, it's a little different than that. For example, you can't assume that players understand what a health bar is. Like you guys had talked about, you know, interface work, for instance. This is a fascinating field of creating a design, making a mock-up, making this beautiful graphic design, implementing it, and then testing it with users and seeing what they understand or don't understand. It's a really interesting field of using this visual arts in a game.
Well, and you probably shouldn't be insulting, like, you know, 40 to 50% of the people that you want to buy your product by having the one character that represents them be only a sexual object or, you know, wearing skimpy things. Though, you know, it was such a shock when, like, Metroid came out and, you know, Samus was a girl. It was a huge shock to everyone, which was really cool because she was in armor and she really could kick butt.
Right.
Of course, then you had the secret code to have her naked after.
I find it goes both ways. That you certainly have the blatantly pornographic designs. Like if you look at Ivy from Soul Calibur, her breasts have gotten more and more impossibly large, and the physics to simulate their jiggling.
Physics are
have
strange.
Gotten, yeah, they've
they are strange.
It's pornographic. Like that's an accurate word for it. But I also find that you have the opposite argument where, you know, you have to throw a woman in tons of armor, you know, or, you know, completely desexify her, you know. And, you know, I think there's this line where you can have a character that, you know, like I personally like characters that are pretty and, you know, I like them to be attractive, you know, not in a slutty way, but in a way that's pretty to me. And I think
like Heavenly Sword. She
yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
She
look
kick
at her.
Butt and
gorgeous hair, like the rigging on her hair and the alpha blades in that, like it's beautiful to perceive. And, you know, I find that because men sometimes look at a character and the first thing they see in a female character is if they are or not sexually attracted to her, which, you know, I think that's why you guys get some of the comments you do in your videos. I think it skews the conversation. And I think that the solution in games isn't to, you know, desexify or, you know, obliterate sexuality. I think it's to increase the number of perspectives that we have.
It makes me wonder if any male game designer ever looked at their main character like Ryu or any of them and said, oh, I think he looks too slutty. I think we got to dial him back a bit.
But we maybe Valdo from Soul Calibur. So
there are some, I think that more and more media is sexifying men as much as women.
Yeah.
And there's more and more men that are having the same type of eating disorders and body dysmorphia as women are, which is not a good thing. Though, yeah, I think Brianna, you're right. Like I like to look at things that are well made up, and I can admire a beautiful woman just as much as I can a handsome guy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
Yeah. I've never gone to a character creator and, you know, made a frumpy girl with bad skin to be my avatar, you know, in a game. And I think,
yeah,
you know,
it's not happening.
Yeah. Nobody wants acne.
No.
Not even pixels.
Not even.
Yeah. We want the most idealized version of ourselves.
I think there's a big difference between aspirational and sexualized.
Exactly. That's the key right there. Can you imagine yourself as that character? That's the key.
So Tomb Raider, I think, did a pretty good job of that. But I think it got a bit of headwind in that the death sequences are pretty gruesome, and people read that as like torture porn in a way.
Really?
And I thought, well, I read at least one article about that. Yeah.
She's
going down a river and she gets impaled in her face?
Yeah.
Or any of the parachute sequences?
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
well, I have to say, first of all, like a lot of people on that dev team were friends of mine, like including the people that made the animations you're talking about. So,
I think they did a tremendous job. Yeah.
Oh, it's. I would argue that the Tomb Raider reboot is the most. That version of Lara Croft is the most empowered, awesome, you know, most feminist character I've ever seen in a game.
I think so, which is why I wanted to pick it up. Yeah, it's Batman Begins for Lara Croft.
Yeah.
And then everything
else. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that game works because they don't pull their punches with Lara Croft. Like, she bleeds, she dies, she fights, she feels. I think that it works because of that. And yeah, I don't need to be protected to feel like I'm being treated fairly. Do you know? And she's in a brutal, right, awful situation. And that game works emotionally because it's speaking to the emotional truth of that situation.
Right.
I agree.
Right. It's kind of funny because I remember Renee wrote a book, a martial art book, and we did all the pictures for it. And one of the editors said that there was a knife scene. It was a martial art move, and there were not. We were using butterfly knives, which are huge, like cutting knives in it. And in one of the pictures, it's
aren't
just
they illegal in Quebec?
Butterfly knives are like they are legal. They're not.
I'm thinking of switchblades.
Not the swinging ones. Yeah, imagine a machete.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they look like two machetes. Anyways, one of the pictures, Renee has like the blade to my neck, and one of the editors, one of the female editors, was really offended and said that we should take it out because it's misogynistic and it's wrong because, you know, it was cutting on my neck and they wanted to change it or have a guy do it. And I said, like I am as equal to, I would not want you to take something out as long as the move is a proper and well-used move. Just because I'm female, I should be able to be attacked in the book equally, just like the guys would, which I think that, you know, that is what equality is about.
I agree.
Can I be honest? I would actually be uncomfortable looking at that. I know both of you, so I wouldn't be. But I would.
But it's like one of a thousand pictures.
And it's a set of moves. Yeah. I'm willing to admit that that's probably like some weird ingrained, not misogynistic, but like, I'm like, don't be cutting women's throat.
The opposite
like,
page, she was like, putting my head into a wall, so it was balanced out at least.
Okay, so maybe in the context, I'd get it. Maybe, but yeah. I could see that photo being problematic just in my gut. I don't think it's fair. I mean, you know what? Cutting anybody's throat, not good. Don't do that.
Well, there's no blood. But, it was only a martial art technique.
There was another.
I know, but it's just something. It's like
there was another anecdote from that book where Georgia, and I don't know if you were married at the time or not, but it was with her fiance or husband at the time, and he was doing one of those jumping spinning kicks, and she was putting him down, and the editor's thing was, oh, that would never work. There's no way that she could stop that. And so she decided to really do it, and she just said, kick me.
It wasn't actually the editor. It was actually Anthony that had
said, husband. Okay.
Yeah, he actually said, you know what? I don't think you could actually do this move. and so he looked at me, and it's a move where he does like a jumping, spinning, crescent kick. And so there's no control in that. And he says, I don't think that you could actually block it. And so like we looked at each other and Renee's videotaping, and it was a very uncomfortable moment because I was going to, like it was do or die. One of us was going to end up very badly injured after this move.
Wow.
But that he said that it couldn't That's be done. Nice. And I'm like, oh yeah, it can be done. And the great thing is in the book, you have, he spins up and I was going to like die or take him out. And you see him on the ground, like grabbing his knee from my block to that move. And we got to use
it. He did not get up for a very long time.
No, I'm smiling in the picture.
That's perfect.
One of the questions
at the top, I said that you could use me as your punching bag, and I retract that now, knowing how dangerous you are. No,
textual punching bag. No,
yeah.
No,
right. That you assumed all of us were physically weak and we could not actually provide harm to you.
No, I didn't think you were ninjas.
You just
I mean,
didn't
one
assume,
of us
yeah.
is an actual ninja. One of us can be a ninja on roller skates. And Jesse, I fear your ability to do things with bowstrings.
Yeah. Oh, the roller skates is so – that's so awesome, just got to say.
I'll harm you with my words.
I'm looking forward to see your match when you come out, Ren.
Yeah, it should be fun. Hopefully I will not embarrass myself and like fall flat over all of Montreal. But
that is so awesome. I so want to watch.
Yeah,
I'll be rooting for the away team.
I had a quick question for Serenity, because we spoke previously about how Brianna talked about how she could mentor people in development. And we have things like App Camp for Girls, which is trying to get girls into development and mentoring. But you're in media, and media is as underrepresented in most instances as development, as design, as any of those other industries in tech. And I was wondering if you thought the similar strategy could work in just empowering women or getting women more involved in media.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about getting, like, especially in my position right now where I have the ability to hire freelancers for certain articles. Since I got put in that position, I've been actively, like, I've been employing all of my female friends who I know are competent writers and write on that subject that maybe haven't worked with us before, but who I know are excellent, you know, at what they do. And just like giving them avenues that they might not otherwise have, being able to like reach out like that. It's, you know, I'm not necessarily in a position in my job where I can hire people permanently or influence them in that way. But I really do try and make a point of reaching out to folks. And especially at conferences and things like that. And talking to, I went to talk at a college in Milwaukee last year, which was a very strange experience, very different from talking at conferences. But I got to basically hang out with four senior girls who are all going into sort of one wanted to be a writer and the rest were going into design related specifically to like print and technology design. And I hung out with these girls for the entire day. And it was really, really awesome to be able to just kind of shoot the shit and talk about what they were going through and what they were nervous about and where you could go from there. And it's like, I just thought that was one of the most, one of the most special things I did last year.
Oh.
So along those lines, what can conferences do better to encourage sort of female attendance and
invite them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, just as a disclaimer, I run a conference here in Montreal.
Are we going to ask you the stats?
I couldn't rattle them off. Yeah. And I should have looked them up. I couldn't rattle them off.
Just Serenity and I have given talks there though.
So. Serenity and Jesse have given talks. I think Georgia, you've attended, or at least you've been around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're welcome to just drop in, of course. You know what? Just let me know what you think. If you want to rip on my conference and you don't want to do it publicly, we'll cut it. We'll cut
you,
it.
You,
and that's
you,
fine. Because I need to hear it. Also, I'm one third of the organizers, so whatever I say, I can't promise anything. But I didn't want to come up with a policy for what we were going to do about Singleton until I had this discussion. Cool. Because I think that would be disingenuous to be like, oh, I figured it all out. This is fine. I wanted to talk to people about it first. So if you guys have any ideas about what conferences in general, or if you've got particular conference suggestions for Singleton on or off the record, I'd love to hear them.
I mean, in terms of Singleton, the one thing that I actually have always found really special about it is even my first year, it felt very open and very welcoming, which is something that I have not felt in any other conference. And it's like, I don't think that the numbers, especially the first Singleton numbers, were, I think, heavily skewed male, but it felt more like a coffee clutch, like a very warm, intimate environment where everybody was very much aware, like, these are all good people. And
the attendees were a lot of males, but many people brought their spouses, or in most cases.
Yeah. Wives. And their spouses around. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it wasn't a thing where like all of the women were shoved into the corner talking to all of the spouses. It was just, it felt like, especially again, the first Singleton that I went to, was that, what year was that guy? Was that 20?
That was three years ago.
Yeah. So, 2011.
Yeah. You've been to everyone. Yeah.
Yes, I have. 2011. That was my second year in the industry. So I still barely knew anybody. And like I had seen people like twice, three times. At conferences and things like that. And despite that, like there were people who came up to me and were like, oh, I think you're Serenity Caldwell, right? You wrote this article. Not like, oh, you're the token female at Macworld, but like, let's talk about this actual interesting thing that you did recently. Which I thought was really awesome. And it's like, it's not to say that the conference is perfect and that, you know, there's no changes that need to be made. But I really appreciate that the atmosphere that's there. And I don't know if it's necessarily because of the way that Singleton is organized and the fact that it's kind of small and intimate, or that the
I think that's a fair amount of it is that it, the community that it attracts is not full of assholes by and large. I don't think maybe it, but that doesn't mean that things don't, maybe things escape my attention.
I think,
in the broad sense, Brianna, what do you, I mean, you've gone to PAX, it's just the other end of the spectrum. So,
well, PAX is we struggled so much with going, you know, to PAX this year because, you know, the Penny Arcade guys have,
there's a history.
There's a real history. And this last year, before I wrote them that check for a significant amount of money, it was like, I cannot believe I'm giving this amount of money to, you know, this affiliated with someone that I think is straight up sexist and homophobic in a way he doesn't. But the people
like oblivious. They're oblivious to how bad they are. They really
that guy needs a team of therapists working on him like just all day long. But the conference itself, like the enforcers, 2,000 out of 10. You know, the crowd at my particular panel was great. But, you know, coming back to your question about what can conferences do, I really think it's straightforward. I think, like, make sure there's some diversity with the speakers. I think that sets a tone. I could tell you a lot of women care about having a, you know, a harassment policy. I am not one of them, but I have a lot of friends that do look at that before they decide
that's
they're going to
attend. That's one thing that I've struggled with, and I can't say that we're yet to finish. We're still planning this year, so we haven't actually come to this point yet. But this is something I'm going to have to talk about with my partners. I almost don't want a harassment policy because my point of view is that if I invite you into my house and you're an asshole, you will not believe the shit that's going to come down on you. Like that's basically the end of my harassment policy.
Sure.
Like, and
the only problem,
I don't feel that I should have to lay that out for people. On the other hand, I don't have this. The entire point of this show is that I don't have the perspective from the other end of the telescope. Right.
Yeah, the only thing, guys, I don't think that many, and I don't know if anyone on the panel, like, I think that all of us could say that we've been harassed before. I would assume that all of us have, just being women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have any of us actually brought it up to any type of, you know, manager and employee? It's really an almost like it's like a 1 in 16 incidents ever come up to be brought up. So,
right.
You know,
so
you kind of learn to grin and bear it, if not, you're the one that gets shunned. So,
right. So wait, that's what I mean. Maybe if somehow we made it clear that you can, I mean, you're my friends. I'd hope that you feel you could come to me and things would get fixed quietly.
I mean, I don't know. I've been to Singleton twice. I've had no problem there.
Yeah.
Right.
Singleton is a very unique experience because it's so small. And I think that in a smaller conference scenario, you don't necessarily need as rigid or laid out a harassment policy. Because most of us know, like, the organizers are very present and very easy to, like, if anything ever happened at Singleton, it's very easy to grab the people in charge and be like,
yeah,
hey,
but
guy.
I want people to know that that's okay. And
most
people have previously, because it's been packed mostly with my friends. And it probably still will be, or at least people that I know. But it does concern me that maybe some shit goes on that I don't hear about.
If I could say this, like beyond the conference organizers, I hope my fellow panelists will agree with this, but something I personally find really intimidating at conferences, and this may be more on the conference goers than the conference, you know, makers, but I have been in a conference. It is so intimidating when you walk up to a group of like 20 guys sitting at a table, or like this group of all guys. And it could be just like, I am a level 10 extrovert. And, you know, I think of myself as someone that's very, you know, reasonably confident at putting myself out there in those situations. But even I have to take a breath and go like, all right, here we go. And I sometimes wonder how maybe my more introverted, you know, female engineer friends would deal with a situation like that. So I guess I would say if you are someone at a conference, like just make an effort to be inclusive to people around you, because it is kind of difficult for women to penetrate that.
So I will totally agree with that. First of all, you've got a double whammy going on there in that many engineers are introverted anyway.
Yeah.
And we've already discussed maybe this is telling that we've got three males and one woman helping us out or organize the conference, is that we were like, well, how do we get the introverts to mix with the other people before we considered like, well, what are the women's issues?
Right.
Maybe so. Bad on us. Now that I think about it, that's kind of crazy. On the other hand, by percentages, there's probably more introverts than women, which is, again, bad on us. But so there's a twofold thing going on there, right? Which is basically you want people to mingle and just talk to each other.
Right.
And ideally, gender can get out of the picture. But unless you're doing that Stephen Colbert, I don't see race thing. it's really hard to sort of, you can't stand up on a podium and be like, hey, pretend that everybody's the same gender.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how to encourage
that. I don't think that women want that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't want to call attention to it by making out these, by, you know, like specifically calling out rules about, you know, this is how you will treat people of another gender. Because I don't want people thinking of their interactions framed in the way of gender. And I think by laying out specific rules, that's drawing attention to it, especially since we haven't done it before and we're small. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I see the flip side of the coin of like, if anything goes wrong, I really need everybody to know that they can come to me or Luke or Scott or Beth and know, or any of the volunteers, and just know that something's gonna get fixed.
Maybe it's an all-purpose policy, right? It's not singling out, you know,
women. You shouldn't be rude to other guys.
Well,
you should not be rude to other people. Here's what happens if you disrespect or otherwise treat another person at this conference badly.
Right. That's kind of what I was saying at the top, which is like, you're in my house. If you're going to be an asshole, you're going to get shit on.
Just having a girl on, you know, the team that again, if a woman is being harassed, she does usually feel more comfortable talking to another woman because they might be understanding it. So just having someone that is female there, is really nice because they'll be able to go to that. So that's a real nice boon, as well. So
maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe it's as simple as being like, just saying at the top, like when I mean, you guys, a few of you have been like, you know, in that Friday introduction, I'm like, maybe it's as simple as saying, if you have any problems, you can see me, Luke, Scott, or Beth Wall and like make sure I point her out.
Oh.
And like maybe that's enough information that people will be comfortable doing that.
Because there's men that also get harassed or get like, you know, teased or bullied or picked on or, you know, because of a whole bunch of other things. So.
That's always me doing the harassing, so that's not
that. You've created an avenue for your own harassment.
Exactly, yeah. I invite everybody over just to talk.
So I think Serenity, is your battery starting to die?
It's slowly dying.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
No, it's okay. This is my poor little MacBook Air can only hold out for so long.
That's perfect.
Perfect. We wanted you gone anyway, is what I was trying to say.
No.
Not at all.
Fellas, it's been a blast.
Fellas, you didn't want to say guys. That's hilarious.
I know, just fellas. That's the joke of it.
I like guys. Guys.
Yeah. Counts. Guys works. I used folks for a long time.
I used that.
Folks makes me feel old. Or like, you know.
Ladies.
Oh, I hate ladies.
They it feels like condescending.
Yeah.
Women folk. Yeah.
No, I really do like, I prefer guys. Like it makes Robert me feel Jordan like an film. Equal.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Here in California, is dudes okay still?
Dudes,
I don't think that we have said that in a while.
Okay.
I think that we say guys.
I really loved listening to so much of this discussion, and I enjoyed sort of getting in where I could. I'm so grateful for this because there's no way that we could possibly have done this show on this topic without the kind of input that you guys had.
Thank you, Guy.
So I really, really appreciate it. I had a lot of fun. And I didn't think it was going to be fun because it's a horrible topic. It's a really horrible topic. And
I don't know if it's that horrible. I think that it's, I don't know.
Well, it's horrible that it exists.
When you're getting threats in email, that's horrible.
Yes, that is horrible.
It's horrible. It's a horrible thing.
But then
if anybody listening to this even thinks about doing that and I find out.
He's coming to your house.
Well, we have people on this podcast.
You know what? We just talked about
karate,
the knife tricks at Renee's. Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, I'll take care of you.
In deference to Serenity's battery, I want to just ask her where people can read more of her writing and where they can find her on the internet.
Yeah, at mackerel.com. And then I publish my own stuff at iwearmanyhats.com now and again.
And you're at Saturn on Twitter.
At Saturn on Twitter, yes. I always forget about that.
Can Jesse. I tell you my favorite part is when you Google you Serenity, because I was doing that before this. It's the very first thing that comes up. It's like, for expert opinions on X, Y, and Z, Serenity Caldwell. And I was like, that is so awesome. Like, I wish that was my first result.
Best match.
I wish that I'd come up with that and that wasn't like default work tag, but I'll take it.
Yes.
Brianna, what about you?
Let's see. My game is shipping soon. Revolution 60. I am speaking at I-360 Intersect in Seattle. I'm doing AltConf. So if you didn't get into WWDC, like I'm guessing many in your audience did not, come hang out. Like, it'll be a good talk. I am also doing Casual Connect in San Francisco in about 2 months. So I'm all over the place.
And you're at Space Cat Gal on Twitter.
I am at Space Cat Gal on Twitter with a K.
Awesome. Jesse?
Find me at pacifichelm.com, twitter.com/JessieChar. I'm speaking at NS North in Ottawa next month. I think it is sold out though, so too bad if you did not get tickets. Mm. And I'll be around at WWDC, just zipping around, not actually at the conference, obviously. Right. Nobody got into that.
No.
It's a big empty room.
We'll hang out and have coffee or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to meet you guys in person down there. That would be great. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
We should make a point of meeting up.
Yeah.
And Georgia, where are you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Georgia_Dow, D-O-W. And of course, also, not without the underscore. I'm a Beatles fan.
This is very important.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you for the slander, Renee. And if not, you can see me also on imore.com and Zen in Tech.
Awesome, guys. I wanted to echo everything that Guy said. It's absolutely fantastic. And thank you for sharing your experiences with us and informing us.
It was awesome talking about it.
Yeah,
this was really,
this
really
was
very
so much
cool.
Fun.
I feel like I've let it all out. Like,
it's been very soothing.
Shut up. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Renee and Guy, so much for hosting us.
Yeah, we'll
see you next month.
We really appreciate it.